Welcome to the color room. Welcome to the color room. Welcome to the color room.
Join us for some drinks and dining.
Welcome to the color room. Welcome to the color room. Welcome to the color room. It's that lifestyle vibing. It's that lifestyle vibing. It's that lifestyle vibing. Welcome to the color room.
Hey, welcome to the color room. Where today we have a very special lady on our particular podcast today, Miss Elodie Colden. Your final name is Chuente. Did I get it right?
So Elodie Colden Chuente, to be special pronounced.
I promise you, I did try that at least three times, and I think I got it once right. The lady here with me is quite special, really. Has worked with Joel Robuchon and Eric Frenchon of Le Bistrol, where she has an influence from Michel Brass, as far as I've seen some of her green plating on some of her dishes that I've come across. Has worked as a restaurant manager for the Ned in 2019. Started Colden Kitchen. And then last year started Colden Fruits. She also has a passion for wine and was a judge for Women's Wines and Spirits, which was also a big surprise. This lady doesn't seem to have much else that you could possibly add to it. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me.
Tell us more about your history, like, you know, where you've come from, where you're going, I guess.
So I'm French. I have an African background, Cameroon, and my mom is from Portugal. So I've been like very influenced. I have a worldly heritage, sort of speaking.
Yeah.
I spend most of my time in France. I've worked, so you mentioned, for Eric Frechon when I was over there, started working in hospitality when I was over there. And then before turning in 20, I moved to Australia. That's where I get to work.
Okay.
Into cooking, more into, you know, fresh preparations. So let's say they have more exotic product than we can have on the other side of the world. You know, it's not the same nutrition approach in Australia than it is in France or in UK. So I've learned a lot, and then I moved to London. So this is, you know, what we could call my background.
Wow. I mean, I'm actually not surprised. I mean, I've seen on your Instagram that you've been to quite a few places, and not just places of kind of being a tourist. It was almost like you're exploring the food that you've come across in your travels. I think I saw when you'd gone to Ethiopia and as well as around South Africa, if I'm correct.
Yeah, so I travel on the south side of Africa. So my father is more Cameroon, so it's more like west side. And obviously, you know, Africa is a continent, so every place is very different. So I was just intrigued by Ethiopia. You know, everybody say like that's the beginning of humanity. I really wanted to see what's going on over there in terms of history, and I wanted to meet the people. And most of my travel are motivated by food. You know, it's culinary travels, culinary trip. Mm-hmm. So I thought it would be very interesting for me and for Colden Kitchen to be bringing back some authenticity and, you know, forgotten herbs and, you know, very rare to find products that people just don't know over here. So I went to Ethiopia and Kenya and, you know, Tanzania, and still want to go back to Africa. I really want to explore the whole continent. And then, yeah, as much as I can, I do travel, because I think that's just one of the easiest way and deepest way to be expanding our knowledge, right? So definitely, as much as I can, I go for it.
Yeah, I mean, it's clearly shown. I was going to say, you know, is that where your passion started from? Was that, you know, from Africa, or was it back you said you're French, so was it in France that's where your passion for food came into it?
Honestly, like, it's a weird one, because my family is not at all into food.
Okay.
My mother doesn't cook, you know. My father would be bringing avocado and, you know, African product, exotic product at home. Before me, it was normal. You know, I, as a child, I wasn't looking at it as it's something special. That was just part of my upbringing. But I've always wanted to be a chef. And then growing up and discovering that my taste or my interests were just so different than the people around me, not just because of my background, but because, you know, we all just have very different interests. I thought that I could really get into it, and it just brought me so much satisfaction. I have a bit of a, let's say, awkward background. So for me, food was very a great way to connect and get to meet with people. So the passion just naturally cultivated within myself. And it just became obvious, you know, when I turned 17, I started to work in restaurants, and I've always wanted to have a foot in that world and to see chefs and just, you know, to meet people and everything of it. I just really got into it. So, yeah, this is why I think I was like, it was part of my destiny, kind of, you know.
Yeah, definitely sounds like that. I mean, it's funny, your relationship with your family and saying that they weren't too much into the sort of food side. The same with mine as far as wine is concerned, because on the show, I'm the kind of the wino, as it would be. And my family aren't obviously, well, actually, obviously, but they're not too much into wine as well. But it's funny how when you've got a passion for something, you kind of purposely career yourself into going into that direction. And you start learning so much more about it that it doesn't really matter if your family were or were not that much into it in the first place.
Of course. I think, you know, you create your path. Do you know what I'm saying? Obviously, we all have a different life story. Sometimes your parents kind of like show you the way. But I think most of the time, the people that are very single out are people that are very like different. Most of the time, they just following their passion and opening the ways for themselves and just, you know, building on out of their own curiosity. So that's something very personal at the beginning of the day, isn't it?
Yes, I think you're spot on right. I think it has to be something, yeah, personal in order for that kind of passion to continue going in that direction. I was going to ask, you know, when it came to the food that you're making at Colden Kitchen, you know, part of me is, one is kind of, how did you start up that kitchen? And two is, how have you used now your experience of African food into your dishes?
So the food was, the idea behind Colden Kitchen was always to create, I don't really like the word fusion, but people understand the idea behind it, but it was always this idea of collision between my cultures, you know. So I grew up in France, I have a background from Portugal, I have a background from Cameroon being colonized by Portugal, so you know it's like already in the mix, I would find myself again. So this idea was always a blend between my cultures and what I found exciting. So often, you know, you will find some French dishes, let's say, but then the ingredients that are going to compose them are African, or, you know, there is some European roots to it, but you understand when you taste it, the travel, you know, you feel the culinary travel behind it. So that's what I wanted. The idea always been to create culinary experience that are tailored to the people, because I've always been working in restaurants and I really love it. But what I do is a different approach to service, is a different approach to hospitality. It's very much personalized. You know, the idea is, if you tomorrow you contact me via Colden Kitchen, well, the idea is for you to have a full experience based on what you like, but just so you can expand your taste. So you're not going to eat, you know, avocado on toast. That's not the idea. We're going to compose based on your dietary requirement, based on your allergy, based on your, you know, nutritional needs, a menu, a dishes, a la carte, however you want to call it, but something that is very special for you to expand your taste and share a bit of our knowledge, you know, be a part of our travel so you understand where the food is coming from. It's very much an experience, as much culinary than cultural, basically.
Okay. That's interesting. I mean, on your travels, which particular African dishes really kind of, you know, struck out for you?
Sorry, say it again, sorry.
On your travels, which particular dishes did you come across that you went, you know, that's a really amazing dish on your travels around Africa?
So one that I I liked a few, but one that I really liked and that people also love, you know, the frenzy around hummus, you know?
Yes.
I'm not a huge fan of that. But when I was in Ethiopia has something that they call fast food, African fast food, and it's shiro. And shiro, basically, I've shared the video, you know, when I went on the north of Ethiopia and I got to learn how to cook it with some local people, you know, it was just phenomenal. But it's this chickpea paste that with some chili powder and onions, you know, and all those fresh spices. And depending on how thin or thick you're going to make this paste, either way, they're going to eat it with injera. Injera, that's the traditional Ethiopian bread, or they're going to use it, you know, to compose other dishes. So I've been using that. I don't make it a paste as thick as they do. And people just love it. You know, it's very spicy. It's very powerful. You recognize the chickpea behind it. That's nothing comparable to hummus, you know, but people are just falling in love with it. And when I've tasted it myself, I was so surprised, you know, I was so amazed because they're just a different approach to a product. They call it fast food. It's extremely healthy. There's nothing, you know, that's not the junk food like we could have it in mind. That's not that. That's really fast food because for them, it's easy, not too many ingredients to prepare it, and literally in 5 minutes, done, you know. But so that's the dish that I took. Twisted, kept this idea, you know, with the Ethiopian and African culture behind it, but I completely transformed it so people can discover it as well on that side of the world. And I would say until that day, that's one of my favorite discovery. But there's obviously plenty more.
Okay. Would you what other two would you say that people should kind of look out for?
Well, first of all, not necessarily a dish. I would always say to people, because often when I'm having this conversation about African food, I'm often quite disappointed by the idea, you know, people can be very prejudiced against, and they think that African food, like, I don't know, like it's no flavor, or that it's bland, or that it's everything the same, or it's everything type of food, and that's just not the truth, you know. For somebody like me, and you talk with other people that have been traveling in Africa more than I did, they will all tell you that's where you can find some of the healthiest food on the planet, because they don't have the same way to be treating ingredients. They're not being sprayed with chemical. So before even starting to throw yourself into dishes, I would highly recommend for people to be trying the amazing range of exotic fruits that are coming from Africa, that are healthier, that are going to bring to your body nutritional value that other fruits from that side of the world cannot bring you, you know, also because of the exposure to the sun exposure and, you know, all this type of. And I will also tell them to even try the meat, you know, the way we're approaching meat here on that side of the world with warehouse and, you know, the clothes are being packed and this and that. That's not something you see in Africa.
Yeah.
You know, trying beef, the beef was literally running down the street, eating grass, no chemical, no story of being, you know, whatever fed, and it's just being killed when it needs to be eaten. So it's just a completely different approach to nutrition. And I would recommend people to be a bit more curious about that, you know?
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I mean, that's what we kind of do on this channel, is try and explore the different dishes that we're getting here, and also with chefs creating a, as you kind of put it, the fusion, as it would be, though. We like to think it's almost something very new, because created it in its own right. I mean, with going back to your Colden Kitchen, I mean, how did you start that up? Because I've spoken to one or two chefs, and the idea of going to that next step seems really daunting.
Mm-hmm. So basically, with Colden Kitchen, it all started with me wanting to be a private chef and doing that. So that was it, you know, Colden Kitchen. Obviously, before, I've been working at The Net, I've been working for Soho House. So all those people extremely supportive when it came to, I wanted to have a nice pop-up, you know, I wanted to have venues where people could come, where I could have interactive culinary session or cooking classes, super clubs and all that. But at the beginning of the day, it's more, I know that in London, as there is in France, as there is in so many countries around the world, there is an interest, there is a curiosity when it comes to African food. A lot of people, not enough yet, but a lot of people are very much aware that you have so many vegan alternative and so many healthy options in African food that they are naturally drawn to it, you know. So what I wanted to do with Carbon Kitchen is just be there for those people and telling them, yes, okay, you're tired of eating quinoa. There are some other grains that are also gluten-free and they're coming from Africa and you can have them part of your diet and just, you know, making the most of it, basically. So that's how it started, just, you know, by making a few events here and there, making some pop-up, and then people speaking to each other and just, you know, the clientele and the audience kind of like kept on growing.
Okay. I was going to say, as far as you're obviously, you've got, from what I saw, you're doing events, are you doing like kind of almost a dining experience at home for people as well?
Yeah. So, what you mean, like private chef at home?
Yes. Please elaborate on that one.
Yeah, well, obviously, that's way before even the lockdown started. That was going on. So you can find me in venues. If you check on the website, I have like a events calendar. So when there is some public event, when I'm going to be occupying a venue, people can sign up, can buy tickets and can join. Otherwise, most of the time, you know, again, it's people like you, you're going to have a birthday party, you're going to have, you know, your wedding anniversary or whatever it is, and you're just going to reach out. And I will be coming and joining you in the location of your choice. So that can be at home, that can be in your holiday house, that can be anywhere around your UK, basically.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's quite something there. I wanted to ask about your experience like working in this field, being a lady, being someone of an ethnic background, has that ever been a challenge to you along your route?
So that's a question that I understand, but that I don't really want to consider, you know. Okay. I don't want telling myself, oh, because I'm a woman, or because I'm mixed race, or because this, or because that, there is obstacle. I just take it as a part of my journey. And also, I tend to have this mindset where, let's say I'm asking you something, like you have a restaurant, I need your venue, whatever it is, you know. If your answer is no, I'm not going to take it personally. I just consider I'm not asking the right person and I just move on, you know. I'm not going to start elaborating on, is that because of my race and this and that. I do understand that this issue exists and I do think that we need to sort it out, but I don't think that that's passing by some type of victimization of self, you know, and okay, telling myself, oh, I'm a woman of this, so this and that. I think that we all have to struggle. I could be a white man and still struggle, you know, and maybe even more because I would be doing African food and people would be like, why? You understand? So I just approach things as they are. And I tend to elude on this feminist or racial question because I consider that it comes to a moment where we all need also to work on our craft. And it gets to a point where if you're really, really good, people can't deny you, regardless of your gender, regardless of your skin color. You just become someone that we can't ignore. And that's the position I aspire to be at. So everything else that is happening is really just part of the journey for me.
Okay, that's a great answer. I mean, it's interesting when I spoke to the other two chefs as well, they also said that when it came to anything of that particular nature, that they hadn't come across it at the academy level in that circumstances. Is that the same for you then, you would say? It's just a matter of your own persuasion in pushing yourself?
Well, I think that everybody's life history and experience is different. So, you know, like, for sure, I've worked in kitchen. I know that when you're a woman, obviously, you know, people are looking at you and they're just assuming that you're weak or whatever it is. But again, you know, I think that it's too time consuming to be trying to change the view of those people, because I'm not there to prove them wrong. I'm here to move on with my life. And if I have to stop and try to convince every person that is retarded, because that's such a delusional mindset to be judgmental towards somebody because of the gender, skin color, or whatever it is, you know, that I can't waste my time doing that. Like, we have big project with this business, it's called In Kitchen. We have big moves to make in the culinary world. So that's just, those people can't be part of my journey. And surely, you know, if they are against me because of the way I look, we can't be writing history together. So we shouldn't be giving them that much thought. You know what I'm saying? That's the way I see it.
I think that's a great philosophy. I think that's it really is, because you kind of either get caught up in it and you let it get to yourself and you go, and that's how it just doesn't make a positive effect on you. You kind of, I can see that you've just gone, right, how can I make this negativity a positive for me? It's more of a case of, right, I'm just going to strive to get better and get further and concentrate not on that but on something more positive about myself. So I've got to take my hat off to you. I think that's really impressive, you know, sort of self-esteem and mental health that you've got there, clearly. coming back to your food, I could, like, we had talked before, you've had of influence on from chefs on yourself, then I can also see that in your dishes. You talk about the fruit in Africa. You've also, I've seen some of your plating having, you know, very kind of, probably not my vocabulary is as great as yours, but kind of the raw, either green aspects to it, and almost plating it in that aspect. Is that something that you strive for when it comes to how you present your food?
Yeah, well, what? Not necessarily. Obviously, the how can I say that? Like, the visual is very important. You know, the plating, the presentation is something that I really work on and strive for. But above that, it's the ingredients themselves. You know, the idea is to respect the food and to be moving towards more holistic eating, healthy eating, detox eating. So I'm still preparing, you know, chicken and fish, but also a lot of vegan eating, because the idea is to be eating, to have an amazing time, but also to be healing yourself, you know, to be nurturing yourself. So that comes by respecting nature and by, you know, discovering range of products in your plate. So the green and the vibrant colors are always going to come out, because that's what's attracting me, you know. And then if people are curious about it, I tell them more about, you know, the benefits of eating this and that, or the interest of this food combination in terms of flavors, but also in terms of health benefits, because you don't just eat to be eating and, you know, filling your belly. A lot of people approach it that way, but it's deeper than that. You know, it's deeper than that. At the end of the day, your food, like, literally your cells are going to be recreating out of what you've been putting in your body. So that's almost something sacred to a certain level, you know. So you want nature to be really represented, and you want people to get to explore it when they're, you know, grabbing a bite, kind of, like, do you know what I'm saying?
That's great. I mean, that explains why you go in that particular direction and what you want people to come across with your particular culinary skills. For me, I could see that's quite clearly there, and for us it's more of a case of having more people like you in the industry. And to that retrospect, my next question kind of moves into, how come there isn't that many fine dining restaurants in England, London, as we're in this particular city? Do you think that's the reason, you know, that we don't find enough African fine dining restaurants?
Oh, I think there are. I think there is, but they're just not put enough into the light. You know, last year I've done this amazing... Okay. And I've been part of this really amazing project. It was organized by a photographer, Jodian George, and he was collaborating with the chef Mike Reid, which is an Australian chef, African people, you know, and so we were so many different African chef and Caribbean chef working together on this project. And there is, you know, there is African chefs, super talented, very creative. They are there, they are existing, but they just don't have all the time, necessarily the platform that they deserve. So that's something we're all working towards, you know, but the idea is the same again. I think that there is a moment, it doesn't necessarily sound fair when you're in the process, in the middle of it, but there is a moment where what you're doing is so great, it's really bringing something to people's life in terms of health, in terms of well-being, that people can't deny it anymore and are being more and more to be drawn by it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I think it's a matter of time. It's a matter of educating people as well, changing mentality, breaking the stereotypes around African food. Because again, a lot of people think that it's bland and this and that. And that's just not the truth, you know? So once we reach that point and the mentality are starting to shift, then it will just become obvious. And I think that you see how you have trend, like, for a few times is sushi. Everybody wants sushi, and then everybody wants tacos, and then everybody wants avocado on toast. So I think that we're progressively entering the phase where people are going to become obsessed with African food, just as they should.
I know that's a tough question, because it's obviously there's a lot of different other elements involved in that, in the sense of, oh, is it because of finance? Is it because, you know, it hasn't got the sort of exposure it should be having? Is it because people's mind aren't there as yet? I'm glad you covered that answer in that particular light, because we keep asking that particular question to chefs and so on and so forth. You're quite right. There are plenty of African chefs who are talented in that format, and that's my kind of feeling, is almost like, okay, there's clearly that wealth and experience and passion to do it. So how come when, you know, we were really looking for like these Michelin star African restaurants in London, that we were just like, wow, it's so weird that you can have almost like sushi come up in the last 10 years, right? Yet there's been such a big, you know, African influence in London that it's almost mind-boggling that that hasn't happened before this whole sushi wave. So it was great that you brought that point up, because I've actually said it in pretty much the same light in some retrospect as that goes on. As my final point for this brilliant interview, I wanted to ask, where do you think Colden Kitchen is going to go, and what is your thoughts on the future of African food and African restaurant and business wise?
So, well, I think it's a good and it's a tricky question, because now Colden Kitchen been expanding with Colden Fruit as well. It's like, let's say Colden Kitchen is more culinary experiences. So I'm just going to charge my laptop at the same time. And Colden Fruit is more so exotic fruit, exotic products, you know, plant-based, healthy raw food that people can get delivered at their home all around UK. So I think that Colden Kitchen is just going to keep on expanding. I love the fact that I'm the person at the center of it, because I'm passionate about it. I collaborate and I work with other people, you know, depending on the size of the events we're covering. But what I would love to do, because it was very interesting when I went to Africa and I was sharing my discovery, you know, in live on Instagram with people, I think that a few years from now, depending on how things are unfolding, I really want to have like a TV show or some type of show where I'm just going around Africa and interacting with people the same way you and I are doing, and, you know, cooking live with people and just entering restaurant and showing the food offer as well. That is just amazing, because again, it's such a different approach to nutrition. So I would really love to do that, because I think it will be galvanizing for me, but also very, you know, how can I say? It will be so much raw knowledge for people. I think it will be shocking for people to see Africa under that different light. And also, not just because, for example, when I went to Africa, I did not really organize my trip. Like, I knew I would go to this city and this city, and I knew, you know, a few things that I wanted to do, but I let myself explore. I thought I'm going to meet local and the local will tell me things that you can't find on the internet, kind of like, and that's exactly what happened. So I think it would be interesting for people to just explore with somebody, you know, minute by minute or hour by hour or day by day, what it's really like to be giving yourself a chance to discover what Africa's like without being paranoid and thinking, oh, I'm going into the jungle and what's going to happen. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I know what you mean. It's almost that stereotypical type of thinking. Yeah,
it is. It really is. So just, you know, break mental barrier and showing people like you can have such an amazing time. Like, I've been traveling a little bit already, and one of my favorite country in the world is Tanzania. Like, I fell in love with Tanzania, and I can't wait to go to Madagascar, and I can't wait to go to Namibia. I feel like I'm going to adore it, you know, because it was so enriching that people need to see that. Do you know what I'm saying? I think that if I could have a show where I go and we off the beaten path and we're just living life, people would just go mental. So that's really something that I would like to do in the near future. Right. And eventually with Golden Kitchen, it was a different branch of Golden Kitchen, but it will still be part of this culinary journey. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Wow. That's great. I mean, I was going to say, like, you know, we'd love to join you on that journey for sure. for sure. Because I know Victor was like talking to me about, you know, wanting to, you know, get this into a sort of a TV, you know, particular area where, you know, we get to really show off all these skills. So I fully, you know, implore you for doing that, because I think you should definitely do it. It's a great idea. Where can we catch you on? So what's your Insta line? It's at Golden Kitchen, right?
Yeah, so it's at Golden Kitchen. So it's written like Golden with a K. That's my second name. That's a Cameroonian name. So Golden Kitchen. I'm also working on a YouTube channel that will be having the same name. So where I put cooking videos and everything. And then the website. The website is also goldenkitchen.com for people, you know, either way to book me for an event, a personal event, or if they want to join for a cooking class, you know, or if they want to join for a super club. If they just want to reach out, you know, if they have any question regarding African food or regarding, you know, whatever is crossing their mind, they can contact me via there. And if they want to catch me via my personal one, it's going to be Golden Elodie. And same, you know, I'm very open-minded and I'm always, you know, ready for a little chat.
That's great. Elodie, thank you very much for your time. It's been a real, real lovely chat to have someone who's so passionate and understands, you know, that there is no kind of boundary to what you can do. And if that's for yourself personally or for your passion. I have no more words to say. I think it's been great.
Well, the way I see it, just to jump on that, is it's one struggle at a time. And I say that I'm not, you know, I tend to try to tackle and attack different subjects at the same time. But the truth is, if you really want to be successful, and that's, you know, I'm saying that thinking about the racial issue, you know, in the back of mind when you were asking me about how is that when you're a woman, this and that, it's like, it's an important problem to solve, you know. I don't want you to believe that I'm just turning a blind eye to it. No, at the contrary, I'm really seeing through it. And I don't want to be consumed by an issue if I don't have the tool to be fixing it. And I do think that that's an important problem. And I do think that we can all be part of the solution. But the solution is not, you know, entering one fight, you know, with your colleague or, you know, like, parting argument on the workplace, that's just not part of the solution. So I think it's very important to elevate oneself, to elevate ourselves, and then, you know, from a higher perspective with a bigger vision, to really be contributing to handling, you know, all those threshold issues and to be building, you know, like building your own table. So this problem won't be one anymore. So that's more of the way I approach it. But yeah, same here. It was such a pleasure chatting with you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. guys, as always, you can find us as well on Instagram, The Color Room. Please follow. You can find us on Spotify and Apple. And please go check out Cold and Kitchen. It's a good eye opener to how African food can be made, and more importantly, how it can come to your doorstep. Clearly. All right, guys.
Yeah.
We'll chat to you soon.
You have a great evening. Bye-bye.
All right. Let me just...